Jagadish Pandit, who was actually known to be one of the wives of the serpent Kaliya, Nagapatnis. Of course, other people say that he was formerly a dancer named Chandrahas, who danced for Krishna. So great, great devotee. And he was, his wife was personally given the deities of Gaura Gopal by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because his wife was such a great devotee that she was feeling separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also, there's an interesting story when Lord Chaitanya was very young. He was crying for grains on Ekadasi, and actually a little kid doesn't have to follow Ekadasi, especially when they're before 8 years old, or after 80. So we're looking forward to that. Not to 8, but to 80. Anyway, so. And so Lord Chaitanya was crying for grains, and they didn't know how to bring him grains. And he said, Jagadish and his brother Hiranya are offering grains to the deity, so they took him to the house, and lo and behold, there were grains there. Every year, Hiranya and Jagadish, because they were two brothers, would go to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the Ratha Yatra festival. He was also present for Lord Nityananda's Panihati festival, which is the chip rice festival. Okay, so today is his appearance day. And now we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, text 66. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mahi Nirata Vidayaha Sarvaha Sama Darshanaha Vashe Kurvante Mam Vakcha Asat Striyaha Sat Patim Yata. Okay. Mai Nirvada Vidayaha Sarva Samadarshanaha Vase Kurvanti Mam Bhakya Sat Sriya Sat Patim Yata Mai Nirvada Vidayaha Sarva Samadarshana Vashekurvani Mam Bhakcha Sat Sriya Sat Patin Yata Mai Nirvada Vidayaha Sarva Samadarshana Vashekurvanti Mam Bhakcha Sat Sriya Sapatim Yata. Okay.
Mani Nirvada Vidayaha
Firmly attached in the core of the heart. Sadhava. The pure devotees. Samadarshanaha. Who are equal to everyone. Vase. Under control. Kurvanti. They make. Mam. Unto me. Bhakya. By devotional service. Satstriyaha. Chaste women. Satvatin. Unto the gentle husband. Yata. As. Translation. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands. What's a gentle husband? Under control by service. The pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. So you can repeat. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service. The pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the word samadarshanaha is significant. The pure devotee is actually equal toward everyone, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 54, Brahma Bhuta. Prasanatma nasochitina kongshitik samaksarveshu bhuteshu. Universal brotherhood is possible when one is a pure devotee, pandita, sama darshanaha. A pure devotee is actually learned because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Bhutaha. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands that what is happiness to him is also happiness to others, and that that what is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore he is sympathetic to everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj said, Shochetato vimukachetasa indriyarta maya sukaya banam udvahato vimudan. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to raise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. So, Mai Nirvana Hritaya Sarva Samadarshana Vase Kuranti Mam Vakcha Satstriya Satvatim Yata. So Om Gana Tivanandasha Ganandasha Okaya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So that's a very interesting verse from the seventh canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, I'm satisfied myself, but I'm overcome by, paraphrasing, by love for all these vimudas. Like there's the word mudha. Mudha, you know, the nice devotees take that as meaning ass, but it actually means bewildered. Like Krishna says, the bewildered spirit. So, kartahami timanyate, hankara mudatma kartahami timanyate, is thinking himself the doer. That's from the Bhagavad Gita, in case you haven't figured that out. So that means very bewildered person. So, Prahlad Maharaj says, maya sukaya, that they are experiencing or the happiness of maya, illusory happiness. What is that illusory happiness? The illusory happiness is basically, well, we say it's illusory, but it's actually the cessation of pain or the cessation of disturbance. Prabhupada gives the example, actually it's in Lord Chaitanya's example, that the ancient punishment of a dunking stool, that's how they used to punish people in the United States. I think they still do that, and the military does that to the terrorists. It's called waterboarding nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much similar type of thing. In other words, they put them under the water until they practically die from drowning, and then they raise them up. It's like in the old times, it used to be a seesaw. You know, they put someone, you know, the seesaw, Marjorie Dor, you know, those nice things. So they put someone on the seesaw, lowered him in the water, and raised him up, and he breathed. Wow, this is great. Wow. And because I'm not dying right now, breathing to me is not a source of great pleasure. You know, I'm breathing, but it's not, I'm not saying, oh wow, it's ecstatic to be able to breathe. So that's the example Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. And we pretty much see that any material pleasure is like that. One has some need. For example, you know, a need for love, or a need for appreciation, or whatever. And that need is being, not being satisfied, causes one some disturbance. Or the body is causing us, you know, need for food. I'm hungry. Sometimes the stomach is talking. And we actually mentioned, actually many times before, my own experience of one time I was far away from the refrigerator. Not just 50 feet, you know, just I was in the woods somewhere. And I was extremely hungry, and then I just had the impulse just to bite the branches of the trees and eat the leaves. Like that story I tell in the Mahabharata about the disciple was being tested by the guru and not being allowed to eat by begging, not being allowed to eat by drinking the milk coming or the foam coming from the cows, and finally eat some poison leaves. So that's our situation too, because we have these intense desires, and the happiness we experience in the world is actually basically alleviating the distress. So that's mentioned here. Maya Sukaya. It's just illusory happiness, or, you know, virtual happiness, that's another way to express it. Vimudan, because they're bewildered. So, this is Prahlad Maharaj's statement. He said, I'm overcome by, basically he says, I'm overcome, the full verse is, I'm overcome by love. That's how Prabhupada translates the verse for these fallen, conditioned souls. So, that's the best way, like Prabhupada says, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, when one does that, one is actually situated in the epitome of chastity, as mentioned here. The word chastity is quite interesting. It comes from the Latin castus. Maybe you've heard of that before. Castus means pure. Nowadays, of course, it's generally used in a sexual sense, isn't it? That, you know, the lady just has to be remain faithful to her husband. Not only faithful, just like not having a relationship, basically, with anyone else but her husband, or it's also used in the case of nuns who are not supposed to have anyone as their husband except for Jesus Christ. right? So it's also used in that, in a sexual sense. And, of course, nowadays, because it's Kali Yuga, let's use it in a different sense. Let's say in a sense of loyalty. Loyalty and purity in Krishna consciousness. Because people in Kali Yuga don't keep their promises, so very few people, or obligations, or loyalty, very few people are actually chaste. I mean, in reference to men and women. Chaste, which means loyalty in this particular regard. There was an interesting story I was reciting last night to the devotees, Maya story, about one man who was always worried about his wife being chaste. And he had one wife who wasn't chaste. And he did what every Muslim does when he has a wife who's not chaste. He killed him. So he thought, I don't trust these women anymore. So he thought, in order to have a chaste wife, I have to kill her right after getting married, spending the first night with her. I have to kill her. Some of you may recognize this story. It's 1001 Arabian Nights, in case you haven't connected the dots yet. So I have to kill her after spending the night. You don't get married. Kill her the next morning. Wow. Then, no doubt at all that my wife is chaste. It's a good procedure, isn't it? I recommend that highly. So, anyway, so he was killing so many wives. And of course, the story goes that finally he had one wife who was actually a little intelligent. Her name was Scheherazade. Right, Mother Krishna? You know the story? No? See, now you're learning something for the first time. So anyway, Scheherazade. And she managed to just tell him stories that were just cliffhangers. So he you understand? Cliffhangers? No. Cliffhanger means you don't end the story. And this happened. But I'll tell you next night. So he didn't kill her. So that went on for 1,000 nights. And then, anyway, she was forgiven. And they lived happily ever after. So, as the story goes. So, anyway, so that's an example of not trusting and what chastity is. Anyway, so as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, chastity means loyalty to Krishna and loyalty to the spiritual master. But it doesn't mean blind following, which is interesting. Like Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita in his purport, he says blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So in other words, it's not that one blindly follows Krishna or blindly follows the spiritual master. One is entitled to an explanation and one is entitled to his own opinion. Yesterday I got a letter from someone saying, I have trouble. It wasn't one of my disciples, don't worry. I have trouble accepting the principle of spiritual master because I'm not going to follow anyone blindly. And I explained you don't have to follow anyone blindly. You always have your choice, even Krishna. When he was dealing with Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, or speaking the Bhagavad Gita, he explained everything to Arjuna in a more or less facilitating way. He says, now that I've explained everything, what do you want to do? Do it, you know, make your own choice. And of course, Arjuna chose something that was right. He didn't disobey Krishna, but Krishna said you can do it if you want. And implicitly, Krishna was indicating that you don't have to do what I say. You can do something different. And then you have to suffer or whatever experience the results of not doing what I say. As simple as that. So that's the mood that the spiritual master takes in relationship to his devotee, and Krishna takes in relationship to his devotee. It's more of a facilitating mode. Here's the natural repercussions for each course of action. You see, Bhagavad Gita is presenting like that. Like if you think of something at the time of death, that's what's going to happen. Yam yam vati smaran bhavam yashate anti kalevam tam dham vivaiti kontiya sada tad bhava bhavata. Whatever you're thinking at the time of death, that's what you become in the next time. If you're thinking of your wife, you become a lady. And if you're thinking of your husband, you become a man. And if you're thinking of your dog, which I'm very worried about right now, then you become, and you become a dog in the next life. So that's the relationship. That's the relationship of chastity. And when one is loyal like that, as Prabhupada mentions and Krishna mentions here, Vishnu mentions, that one can bring the person whom they're loyal to under their control. And actually, I've seen that in relationship, you know, talking about dogs again. I've seen that relationship to the dog we have here. That the dog is, you know, just like a loyal companion. Yesterday I was chanting my japa, you know, doing like 64 rounds, and trying to concentrate on the holy name rather than the dog. So, and the dog was accompanying me up and down the driveway. And I was thinking, how nice, how loyal. And Chanaka Pandit also talks about loyalty in this regard. He says that one can learn loyalty from a dog. Not that one should just like sit down at the lotus feet of the dog and say, you know, please teach me loyalty. But it's a fact, you know. It wins the heart. I mean, my heart was won over. Thank you, Maya. But see you next life. So, it's a fact. It's a practical fact. And if you're like that with Krishna, then he actually becomes like, I wouldn't say subservient, but yes. But Krishna actually just develops a close relationship with you because you're like that. But you do have a right to disagree. But you're always engaged in the service. And I'll give you an example of the gopis. It's not that they're always in agreement with everything that Krishna does. Krishna's wives are not always in agreement with what Krishna does. Mother Yashoda is not always in agreement with what Krishna does, right? You actually see the residents of Krishna, of Vrindavan, sorry, and Dwarka, are not always in agreement with what Krishna does. Narada Muni is not always in agreement with what Krishna does. But you remain loyal. Just like I was thinking in regard to what Lord Ramchandra did, some of Lord Ramchandra's devotees or Sita's devotees get very upset that he sent her away to the forest like that. Just because some washerman happened to open his mouth and criticize Mother Sita, then how could Lord Ram do that? So that's part of loyalty, that you remain faithful to someone. And, or let's say even the wife of Ravan, Mandodari, famous person, she's known as one of the most chaste, loyal persons in creation. In fact, at every marriage ceremony, you recite the names of Ravana and Mandodari, which is interesting, because you recite the names of basic couples that are chaste, you know, husband and wife chaste to each other. And Ravana and Mandodari. And she was arguing with Ravana. And another couple was, and she was telling Ravana, give back Sita, David. She didn't say, oh, it's nice. My dear husband, whatever you do is very nice. Oh, you're so sweet. No, she argued with him. And the same thing with, even though you have like Lakshmi Narayan, you have that whole story, the whole Tirupati story, Balaji story, where Lakshmi saw that Narayan was kicked in the chest by Bhrigu Muni. Now, Bhrigu Muni was a great sage. And he was testing the deities to see who was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We had this question yesterday from someone in the email. How do we know Lord Shiva is not God? How do we know Lord Brahma is not God? You know. And, of course, I answered it quoting Shastra. That was a different thing. But also you can answer it citing Bhrigu Muni's encounters with the three primary guna avatars. That is Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. That Bhrigu Muni, he goes to Brahma and basically ignores him. Rama gets really angry, but he's able to control his anger. Then he goes to Lord Shiva, insults him, and Lord Shiva gets really angry. And then he goes to Lord Vishnu and kicks Lord Vishnu in the chest. And Lord Vishnu just says, "Forgive me." That's definitely a mode of goodness. Don't try that with your guru. So he said, Lord Vishnu says, "Forgive me because I have such a hard chest that I hurt your lotus feet." And then Lakshmi, she's angry. And what does she do? She leaves it. She said, "Vishnu, you're too tolerant. I'm going." So then there's poor Vishnu without Lakshmi. You know, no money. No money in the bank account. And he's not collecting Social Security either. So, and then he has to go to the Earth planet. I'm not going to tell a little story, but then he has to go to the Earth planet to look for Lakshmi. Finally he finds, Maya Sita, who's, Maya Lakshmi, whatever, gets married to her. Lakshmi, real Lakshmi, comes, and they both get angry with him. And they're angry with each other, too. And they all have to turn into deities. So, you see in the Lord's pastimes, in the interactions with the devotees, even Arjuna is disagreeing with Krishna at one particular point, beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. So, there's still free will. That is not that one surrenders like that. But loyalty, that one remains faithful to one's worshipable personalities, such as the spiritual master and the supreme personality of God, and then one is able to win the Lord's favor. And then winning the Lord's favor means that you can become empowered to actually take people out of this material world, which Prabhupada mentions, there is a place of suffering. So many verses in Bhagavad Gita, Dukalyam, Ashashvatam, and it's a place of Durga. Durga, of course, Prabhupada said, has 10 hands, rides on a tigress and a lion, it's Prabhupada said, and she's piercing the living entities with her threefold miseries. And so this is the secret to becoming empowered in Krishna consciousness, to be loyal to the spiritual master and loyal Krishna. And then, of course, the verse is that if one is has full faith in the spiritual master, full faith in the supreme personality of God, then all the Vedic literatures, all the truths are revealed to one automatically. What is the verse again in Sanskrit? I forget the Sanskrit. Yasya devi parabhakti rita devi tita guru tashayate katita ariyarta prakashante mahatmana. One who has that full faith and loyalty, then basically understands everything. Yasya devi parabhakti rita devi, in the same way, tita guru, the spiritual master. Anyway, so that's the secret in spiritual life. So, anyway, we can end early here. So any questions or comments about these points? Yes.
It seems that one very important factor is to be aware of the association that one keeps and to not allow oneself to hear things that can weaken your faith, like one discriminates, but at the same time, one also has to discriminate about their association. Can you speak more on that, please?
Well, let's see, about hearing things that weaken one. It means criticism of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, criticism of one's guru, or, of course, Prabhupada was very strong in, I'm trying to remember the story and the memories right now, that, Bhakti Chumar, is the story of Bhakti Chumar is told that he, him or he sent someone. Anyway, so he it was either he or sent someone to find out. Prabhupada was, we didn't know anything. Oh yeah, it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj sent Bhakti Chu Maharaj. That was the story. That we didn't know what was the proper procedure, you know, when Prabhupada would leave his planet, what we should do. And what happened is that Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Bhakti Chu Maharaj, you've got to go to speak to Krishnadas Babaji, who happens to be in Madhava Maharaj's moth. So he goes, and Prabhupada asks for Bhakti Chu Maharaj, and Bhakti Chu Maharaj is not there, and basically he asks, where is he? He says, well, he's gone to Madhava Maharaj's moth. And Prabhupada gets really angry, and he comes back, what are you doing there? At Madhava Maharaj's moth. And you know, he didn't want to say that actually I was asking what to do when you actually pass away, because that would have been a very insensitive thing to say. And, you know, Prabhupada got very angry, and he said, if he says one thing different from me, and this is an expression that Prabhupada used sometimes in other circumstances, if they say one thing different, at one point Prabhupada said everything will be lost or there'll be confusion. And there's different things that Prabhupada said. There's similar stories that several devotees told. So, especially in regard to Srila Prabhupada, then it can create confusion. I mean, there are Vaishnavas who are pure Vaishnavas with different viewpoints or different, even we find in the Bhagavatam sometimes that there are two acharyas, like Prabhupada who quotes Sridhar Swami says this, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this, and it appears to be a little different. You know, this pastime happened then, this pastime happened then, another time. So it would cause confusion. So we have to be careful, especially in dealing with Srila Prabhupada, of not hearing opinions that would be contradictory to Srila Prabhupada's opinion. At the same time, not criticizing someone who might have opinions different than Srila Prabhupada. And I know even with this whole issue of where the jiva soul comes from, you know, this issue, this big controversial issue which everybody has made a big deal about, which Prabhupada never made a big deal about. Because Prabhupada said, you're here in the material world, you're drowning in the ocean of material existence, and first of all, figure out how to get out. You know, just like if someone sends you a life preserver, and you're drowning in the ocean, throws your life preserver, and you say, no, I'm not interested in a life preserver because I want to find out how I fell into the ocean in the beginning. And that's not that intelligent. So something that Prabhupada never stressed, or Prabhupada spoke about a few times, and then you hear a different opinion, it can create or challenge one's faith in Srila Prabhupada. So one has to be very, very careful in this regard. So that's one point as far as remaining faithful to Srila Prabhupada and also remaining faithful to serving his mission. It's like in my own case, I'd be very happy to go to Govardhan and just say goodbye, cruel world. Like that song, Goodbye, Cruel World, I'm off to join the circuit. Yeah, anyway, there's some song like that. But I would provide cruel world, but because I'm loyal to Prabhupada, then I remain within his mission, attempting to serve him in some way. So we have to be careful to maintain our own chastity in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, especially all the members of the Krishna conscious movement. That doesn't mean that we can have some difference of, let's say, interpretation of certain things Prabhupada said, because Prabhupada has many different quotes. I mean, I was just reading one quote that someone sent me the other day about, I mean, famous thing, about dhotis, how you always have to wear dhotis and whatever. And then I know there's another quote that, you know, a good friend of mine comes up with, that you don't. So, you know, you have to be really careful of also contextualizing things Prabhupada said. Contextualizing means there's certain circumstances. At one point, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, said things about devotees. Another point, Prabhupada said something. So what is the context? And as we've mentioned many times before, that generally after the first or second or third generation leaves this world or comes into this world, you know, succeeding generations, they lose sight of the context of the instructions of the original preceptor of a religious society. So context is very important. Intention is very important, too. And those are the first two things that are lost with succeeding generations of members of a society, not only in the Krishna consciousness movement, but also in any society. I mean, let's say the followers of Jesus Christ, you know, which we have very little information about because they weren't the ones who wrote the Gospels. So the context is extremely important when dealing with the instructions of a great personality like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So, anyway, yes.
So in the verse it was stated that chaste wife brings a gentle husband under her control through service. And then you also stated that it's similar how Lord Krishna, when we heard...
That's what the verse says, yeah.
Prabhupada says so many times that love equals service, so would chastity actually be the manifestation of unconditional love?
Well, I would say the word chastity means loyalty, but it also means not just loyal that you don't do anything else. I mean, that's like a negative definition. I'm chaste to you because I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything for you, but I'm not doing anything for anyone else. But it means acting in such a way to please the object that you're chaste to, or the person, not object, the person you're chaste to. It's not simply just a negative of not having any other. I mean, just like the word chastity is used in regard to, I guess, nuns. Of course, the nuns are supposed to be chaste of Jesus Christ. So it means acting in such a way to please the person whom you're chaste to. And so if the wife is always doing that, and that's why Prabhupada described then in the Vedic culture, and I'm not expecting the wives to be like that today, that the husband would come back from work the whole day and she'd be decorated nicely, you know, even though the rest of the day she might have looked like with her hair curlers in the hair. But he comes back and she's smiling and she has a plate of prasadam for him. Prabhupada said that's the system. I'm not giving recommendations for household life here. What I'm saying is that that's what Prabhupada indicated to keep the husband under control. And Draupadi, getting back to the Mahabharata story, Draupadi said that she pleased or took care of the Pandavas by waking up before they did and going to sleep after they did. When she was asked by Satyabhama, how do you keep them under, you know, how do you keep them satisfied? She explained like that. I'm not recommending that. So anyway, so we should be like that with Krishna. We should wake up before Mangalarti.